1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Amen. Let's pray again and ask God to help us as we come to His Word. Father, we pray that You would now remove every distraction. Father, we pray that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us, that You would be with us. Lord, we want You to be our teacher, that You would apply these verses to Olney Baptist Church in exactly the way that we need to hear from You. God, we pray that You would guard my heart, my mind from sin and pride, from saying anything, Lord, that is unhelpful, anything that is untrue, anything that is unwise. Father, we pray, Lord, for our hearts that we would hear from You, that You would open the eyes of our hearts, that we might hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so, God, have Your way with us. We pray, God, that You would convict us of sin where we need to be convicted, that You would comfort us, Lord God, where we need to be comforted. Lord, that if anyone among us does not know Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation, that today they would come and know the Savior. And so, God, be with us, help us, empower us, strengthen us. Lord, we confess that apart from You, we can do nothing. And so please, O God, be with us and help us for Jesus' sake. Amen. How can we know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before God? How can we know? How can we know that we are God's children? How can we know that we are forgiven? How can we know that we are His and born again? Well, verse 19 says, By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. And so we're going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about by this. How do we reassure our hearts that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before God? Did you know, brethren, that you can know that you know God? Did you know that? You can know that you have eternal life. You can be certain, you can have a confidence that yes, I know God, I am saved, I am born again, and I know when I die where I will spend eternity. You can know that. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. You can be sure. There are certain religions that don't like that truth, and they deny that truth. Roman Catholicism denies that you can be certain that you have eternal life. In the Roman Catholic Church teaching on justification, we read statements like this: no one can know with a certainty of faith, which cannot be subject to error, that he has obtained the grace of God. They say you can't know with certainty that you've obtained the grace of God. They say if anyone says that they will for certain, of absolute and infallible certainty, have that great gift of perseverance unto the end, unless he have learned it by special revelation, let him be anathema. The Roman Catholic Church says if you say you can know for certain that you will persevere, trusting in Jesus, and be with God forever in paradise, let you be accursed. So they call down curses on me and all of you who know. You know that you know Him. You know that He died for you. You know that He rose for you. You know that He loves you. You know that He saved you. Friend, the Roman Catholic Church is wrong. They are wrong. John wrote these things. The Spirit inspired John to write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. And so this morning we want to reassure our hearts. Reassure our hearts that we can stand before God. We can know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts by loving one another. We've spent 2 weeks on this, and we continue to see it, and we will continue to see it through the book of 1 John. John is the apostle of love. 1 John 3:18, little children, even in the way he communicates to his beloved congregation, my little children, it just breathes, exudes love, care, compassion. My little children. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's just not talk the talk, but walk the walk, the Spirit says to us. And we've looked at 1 Corinthians 13. This will be the third Sunday. I'm going to read this. Repetition is not bad. Martin Luther was once asked by his congregation, why do you tell us the gospel every week? And he said, because you forget it every week. We need to be reminded, brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 13:1-8, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. If I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And so we are called to love one another like this. Not a love made up of our imagination, according to what we think is love, but love according to God's Word. And God has spoken about what love is. And we're to love one another that way, in deed and in truth, making sacrifices for one another, doing deeds for one another, loving one another, caring for one another. And we can know the truth and be reassured in our hearts if we do love one another. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, O doubter. If you see the love of God in your heart, you are loving the brothers, you love other Christians, be assured in your heart that you are of the truth. We can know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts by resting in God's great mercy. By resting in God's great mercy. Look at verses 19 through 20. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. Throughout the history of interpreting this verse, there have been two major interpretations of this verse. One understands this verse to be a comfort to God's people who wrestle with a tender conscience, a condemned heart when they ought not to feel condemned. And the other interpretation of this verse says, no, this verse is actually laying it on and saying, if your heart condemns you, well, God knows even more than your own heart, so you better fear and tremble even more. I think we can read this passage and apply it to both those kinds of people. We have people in this congregation this morning, and they need to be comforted. They have a tender conscience. The smallest thing, they are worried about that this sin will cast them out of God's presence forever. And so they have a tender conscience, and they need to be comforted. They need to be encouraged by the truth that God is greater than their heart and knows everything. And then there are others in the congregation who know that you are practicing certain practices, you are living in certain ways, and your conscience is pricking you and condemning you and saying, you know that's not right, you know that's not what Jesus taught, you know you're disobeying Scripture, and you keep on doing it, and you need to be convicted. And so we're going to think about that together. First, the comfort for the tender conscience and the condemned heart. For those of you here this morning, and you have a tender conscience, and every time you misstep, every time you fall into sin, you again question whether you are God's child. You need to hear the truth that God is greater than your heart and knows everything. You need to hear the truth that your little conscience is not the final judge. There is a greater judge. There is a greater God. There is an all-knowing God. And you need to lay your little conscience down and believe in God and what He says. Because Satan is actually using your conscience to condemn you when God has said otherwise, and God is greater than your heart. You might say, well, conscience. Friend, conscience needs to be shaped by the Word of God. Conscience needs to be shaped and informed by the Word of God. And some of you who are so condemned, so cowering under God as judge and failing to enjoy God as Father, you need to speak to your conscience and say, be quiet! Be quiet! God has said, none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. Do you believe that? Will you believe God, the Great One, or will you believe your conscience? God is greater than your conscience. And He has spoken. All those who trust in Him shall not be condemned. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is greater than your heart. You best listen to God. God has said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Well, I don't know if I believe, Pastor. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And God answered that prayer. People talk about you don't have enough faith to get healed. God answered that prayer when He prayed, I believe, help my unbelief. No, you need to sometimes be told with a stern voice, God is greater than your heart. And you best start believing God, who knows everything about you. And He knows that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that you love the brethren. He knows that you are filled with the Spirit and bearing the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. God knows these things about you. And so, rest in His mercy. Rest in His love. Rest in what He has said. And these verses comfort you. God is greater than your heart. He knows everything. Be assured, dear tender conscience. Be assured, those of you who have a condemned heart and yet you are confessing sin and fighting sin and seeking to live for Jesus. Be encouraged. Be reassured of God's love for you. And then there are others who need to feel the conviction of sin. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. The truth is the same, that God is greater than your heart. But friend, if you are here this morning and you claim to be a Christian and you are living in unrepentant sin. You are holding grudges. You are holding on to anger that you will not let go of. You are committing adultery against your spouse. You are entangled in pornographic lust, and you are not seeking to turn from that and fight that. You are living in sin. And your heart is condemning you. Your conscience is pricking you. You know that you are living in unconfessed, unrepentant rebellion against God. You need to hear this and be convicted that God, your heart's condemning you. God is greater than your heart. He knows everything. He knows more than you know about how bad you are. And you need to turn from your sin and flee to Him for mercy. Is there anyone here this morning who's feeling convicted about something in their lives, some practice that you know is wrong, some sin, and your heart is condemning you? Friend, we have a Savior who can help you. We know a Savior who can deliver you. And God wants you to come out into the light. He wants you to confess your sin. Come and speak with me. Come and speak with Michael Todd or Michael Osborne, one of the leaders of this church. Find a Christian brother or sister and confess your sin and tell them of your need for help. We are here to help you. Not just condemn, but convict. Convict and help you come to the light, come to Christ. Get the help that you need to fight this sin and grow in holiness and Christ-likeness. Paul spoke this way about his own heart and conscience, knowing that there is one greater than his heart. In 1 Corinthians 4, 3-4, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said this: "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court." Yes! That's how I want to live. Paul says, I don't care if you judge me. I don't care what any human being says about me. I don't care because God is the judge. In fact, I do not even judge myself, he says. I am not aware of anything against myself. So he says, my conscience is clear, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. The Lord is our judge. He is the Supreme Court of Supreme Courts. And friend, He will judge us. He will judge us. On the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, we will give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouths. And that goes for social media too. Every idle tweet, post, text, everything. We will give an account. Paul said on Romans 2:16, on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, there will be no secrets on that day. There will be no secrets on that day. And we will give an account. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you need Him. We want to urge you to come to Him. I want to urge you to come to Him. On that day, you will give an account for everything that you have ever thought, everything you've ever done, everything that you've ever said, every feeling that you've ever had that is not in accordance with feeling rightly before God. Every way you failed to love, as we just heard said we ought to love, we will give an account. And friend, if you do not know Jesus, if you have not believed in Jesus, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and God and Master and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be condemned to hell forever, where God will judge you throughout all eternity, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And friend, we want you to escape that. We want you to escape that. And we have a great Savior, Jesus, who came into this world and obeyed His Father, loved perfectly, served perfectly, always did what was required of Him with joy, and then died, gave His life, suffered the wrath of God on the cross, and rose up from the dead on the third day, so that if you turn from your sins today and believe in Him today, you can be forgiven, you can be saved, you can be born again, you can be changed, you can have all your sins wiped away. That's good news, my friends. Would you believe Him today? Would you trust Him today? This is the good news of the gospel. I will be in the back. I will be having lunch next door. Come and speak with me or another Christian if you have not yet trusted in Jesus to save you. And when you trust Him to save you, He will reassure your hearts that you know Him in these ways we're speaking of. We can know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts by being encouraged by a clear conscience. A clear conscience. Look at verse 21. Beloved. You see that, beloved? Don't just skip over that. Don't just skip over that, beloved. Beloved of Olney Baptist Church, beloved, He's saying you're loved of God, you're cared for by God. Oh, beloved children of the King, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Do you know the joy of a clear conscience? Do you know the joy of a clear conscience before God? When I was in the Navy, I had a job on my ship that dealt with high security material, top secret and above. And so one of the requirements to be in that job was ever so often you had to take a lie detector test. You had to. It was a requirement. And some things were going on my ship that I was uncomfortable with, the way this material was being handled, and I had to go take my lie detector test. And when the first thing they ask you is to say your name. And I failed saying my name. So the way the detector worked is it showed whether you were lying or telling the truth. And it showed that I was lying when I told them my name. And so the people administering the test says, something's going on. There's something going on. And I tell you, I just began to tell them everything I was uncomfortable with going on my ship. I told them this, told them that. I confessed everything I wanted to confess. And I walked away from that test free. Free! And I thought, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to get fired. I don't know if my captain's going to get fired. I don't know what's going to happen. But I feel free. I told it all. Oh, the joy of a free conscience, of a clear conscience. Friend, is there something you need to confess? Would you fail the test if you told your name? Do you have a clear conscience before God? If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We are a people who are to walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. Walk in the light as He is in the light. That means we're not hiding things. That's why I so encourage you to have godly Christians in your life who are more mature than you are. And if you can't find anybody more mature than you are, then you're in big trouble because you have an arrogance, pride problem. Who are more mature than you are, who've walked with Jesus longer than you, who know a little bit more than you, and open up to them about your life and what's going on in your life and the struggles you have in your life and confess sin to them and ask them to pray for you. We want to walk in the light with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, friend, when we did our confession today, as we always do in every service, we read the Scripture. And the Scripture reads us and is to convict us from sin. And Michael says, we have a moment to silently confess sin. Friend, if you did not have any sin to confess, you are in big trouble. You can confess the sin of pride right now. If you don't see it, if you're blind to it, you're the ones who are in the biggest trouble of us all. Friend, blindness. Blindness is the greatest thing to fear. Being blind to your sin. thinking that you have no sin to confess. Oh, but those of us who know, oh, those of us who know that we've failed, those to us who see 1 John and say, yes, I have sinned, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the glory of a clear conscience. We've confessed our sin. We've asked forgiveness from Jesus, and we are clean, cleansed, clear. Confess. Confess. I love how D.A. Carson summarized this whole section on the conscience. He said this, "When we examine ourselves before God, when we look at His Word and hear what it says, and we look at the secret recesses in the dark things of our lives, and we see lots of sins, we can nevertheless see that God's life is pulsating within us because we obey where we didn't, and we love where we didn't. We set our hearts at rest so that we may have to say, I may not be what I ought to be, but I am not what I used to be. That too is a mark of confidence before God. We see the power of the new birth working within us. We're still ashamed that we're not better because we shouldn't be sinning at all. Every sin is inexcusable. But at the same time, we still say, I do see change. I do see growth. I have assurance that God is working within me. And so friends, be assured. May your hearts be assured as you see God working in you and change and growth happening. We can know we are of the truth and reassure our hearts by being obedient to God's commandments. By being obedient to God's commandments. Verse 22 and 24, we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. This is what Christians do. This characterizes Christ followers. We do what He says. We do what pleases Him. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him. Verse 24. We're growing in obedience. We're not perfect. We're not sinless, but we are people characterized by obedience. And when we fail, we confess our sins, we brush the dirt off, we stand back up, and we go again seeking obedience. And notice in this passage, answered prayers are a fruit of obedience. Look at 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is not an invitation to start asking for all these worldly, godless, materialistic things that we want. A health, wealth, and prosperity preacher would have a field day with this passage. You need to be asking for that blessed life. You need that mansion, that BMW, that whatever it is. And God will give that to you. And if you don't get it when you ask, it's because you're not being obedient. That is a lie from Satan. Lies from Satan, Joel Osteen speaks. Lies from Satan, Creflo Dollar speaks. Lies from Satan, T.D. Jake speaks. Lies from Satan, Benny Hinn speaks. Lies from Satan, Joyce Meyer speaks. So what is this passage saying? Friend, if you are obeying God's commandments, you're abiding in Christ and He's abiding in you, the Spirit is at work in your heart, you're more and more not going to give a rip about material stuff. You're not going to give a rip about it. You're going to care about spiritual things. You're going to start to care about your neighbors being saved. You're going to start to care about helping other Christians grow in Christ. Those are going to fill your prayers, and you're going to pray prayers according to God's will. And John says that later on in the book. When we pray according to His will, we're going to be praying Spirit-filled prayers, prayers according to the will of God, Bible prayers. That's why I don't shy away from praying the Bible verbatim. Because it's God's holy, inerrant, infallible Word. Pray the Word of God. Repeat it. Recite it. Pray it. God loves to hear from His Word. Plead His promises. Pray the will of God. And obedience factors in to whether we get answers about those things or not. Obedience factors in. This text teaches. And so if your prayers are not being answered, Maybe you are not being obedient as you should. We need to learn that from this text. If sin is present, God doesn't listen. If sin, unconfessed sin that we are harboring, cherishing, unwilling to let go of, unwilling to humble ourselves, God doesn't listen. Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. The Lord won't listen if you're cherishing iniquity. You have pet sins that you hold on to that you're not willing to forsake. Those drugs, that drunkenness, that shacking up, whatever it may be, that pride, that arrogance. Children, that unwillingness to submit to your parents. God commands you to submit to authorities. It's not a choice. You don't have a choice. And you don't have a choice based on how good parents they are either. God told the Roman Christians to obey the Roman government that crucified Jesus. He just says, obey, children. Obey your parents. Obey your parents, children. If we're cherishing sin in our heart, the Lord will not answer our prayers. If righteousness is present in our lives, God will listen. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Not a sinless man, because the prior sentence said, confess your sins to each other. Did you see that? Did you notice that? Confess your sins to each other, and the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A righteous man is not a sinless man. There's only one sinless man, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach Messiah, Jesus Christ the righteous one. But a righteous man confesses his sins one to another. A righteous man is willing to say, I ain't all that. I've not loved my wife as I should. I could be a better pastor. I could be a better brother, husband, wife. And we confess our sins one to another. And the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And don't doubt when you pray. Don't doubt when you pray. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith. With no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That might be the most often prayer I pray. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. If wrong desires are present, God will not answer. James 4:3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. When you pray for God for a $65 million jet, yeah, your desires might be a little misplaced. And you even couch it around, oh, I want to go share the gospel in Africa. Well, fly coach and give that money to Africa. We don't get answers to prayer because our desires are wrong. They're not shaped by the Bible, shaped by the Spirit. But for selfish passions, we pray certain things. Husbands, if you don't love your wives well, God will not answer your prayers. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, how are you doing? Living with your wives in an understanding manner. The Bible says if you don't do that, your prayers may be hindered. If you don't care for the poor, God will not hear and answer your prayers. If you don't care for the poor, God will not hear and answer your prayers. Isaiah 58:4-9. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. So the Israelites are fasting and praying, and God is saying, this kind of fast, I will not hear it. is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then, I love this, when you give to the poor, when you help the needy, when you clothe the naked, when you invite those who need a place to live into your house, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall be springing up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, "Here I am." How are we doing, Olney Baptist Church? This is what we were told to do last week by in our passage on 1 John. To care for the needy, to care for the poor, to share with those in need. What a promise! When we care for the poor and the needy, we'll shine like the sun. Shine like the sun, and God will hear. He will hear and say, "Here I am." And friend, answered prayer reassures your heart that you are of the truth and that God loves you. I love a particular message that Francis Chan gave at a Desiring God conference on the answered prayers that he gets. He says, "I'm not the greatest prayer. There are tons of people who pray a lot more than me. But God just seems to answer my prayers. Sometimes I don't even pray. I just think it and desire it, and God answers." He gives example after example. And you hear him speak. You say, "I want to know God like this guy does. I want the connection with God this guy does." And he just says over and over again, "My answered prayers assure me of God's love." I'll give you one of them. His wife came to him and said, "Honey, I appreciate our lifestyle, namely strategically poor for the glory of God." Lifestyle strategically poor for the glory of God, to give it away to other people. "And honey, I love living this way, but you know, I just have this desire to have so much money to just give it away to people in need." And Francis says to his wife, "Well, honey, that just won't be us. It's just not us. But they prayed for this opportunity to have lots of money to give away. And what did God do?" Francis Chan wrote a book called Crazy Love that was crazy successful. And at the time he spoke, he said, "We got $2 million from that book last year." And guess what? He doesn't get a dime of it. He's so afraid, right, of money corrupting him. This is so different from what y'all hear on TBN. So different. He's so afraid. Jesus said, "It is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." It is hard. He's so afraid of that money changing and corrupting him that he does not take a cent of that $2 million. It all goes into a fund, and all he can do is write checks for charities with it. All he can do is give it away. That's what he prayed for, that God would raise up Christians like that who aren't into money, but who are into loving and giving and helping others. When God answers your prayers like that, that's an assurance. "I love you, my son. Yes, my son, I see your heart. I can trust $2 million and more with you. I can trust you with it. You are a righteous man, and I'll give it to you. Now give it. Give it to the world. Give it to those in need." And that assures his heart. Yes, yes. Answered prayer assures our hearts. And we're told to keep the commandments. When we keep the commandments, God answers our prayers. And what are those commandments that John focuses on here in this text? The most important ones: believe and love. Believe and love. Did you notice that in the passage? Verse 23. What's the commandment that we're supposed to keep that God will answer our prayers? Well, friends, number one on the list is there in verse 23. "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." That's number one if you're here today. believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe in Christ. Believe in this glorious name. This name above all names. I wish Logan could just sing right now. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, every chain, every chain. Oh, friend, the name of Jesus, it's a glorious name. It's a glorious name. I love this bookmark here. Clinton N. Howard was challenged that there were 99 names of Allah. 99 names of Allah. And so he put together over 200 names of Jesus Christ. Oh, the names of Jesus. Have you believed in the name of Jesus? Jesus, the young child, the holy child, the Nazarene, the Lord of Lords, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, Surety of a Better Testament, the Just One, the Holy One, the First Fruits, the First Begotten, the Elect of God, the Branch of Righteousness, the Righteous Judge, the Judge of Israel, the Desire of All Nations, the Messenger of the High Covenant, a Minister of the Sanctuary, the Author and Finisher of our Faith, our Peace, the Man, Christ Jesus, the Horn of Salvation, the Captain of our Salvation, the Image of the Invisible God, the Fullness of the Godhead Bodily, the Beginning of God, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Tree of Life, the Light of Life, the Door, the Sheep, the Chief Shepherd, the Vine, the True Vine, the Root of Jesse, the Morning Star, the Living Stone, a Stone chosen by God and Precious, Rock of Ages, Faithful and True, Man of Sorrows, a Friend of Sinners, the Gift of God, the Unspeakable Gift, the Head of the Cornerstone, the Head of the Church, the Head of Every Man, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Altogether Lovely One, the Fairest of 10,000, the Bright and Morning Star, the Power of God, the Wisdom of God, the Gift of God, the Word of God, the Image of God, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, the First and the Last, the Beginning and the End, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega. He is the King of all kings, Jesus. Friend, have you believed in that name? I only read some of them. I only read some of them. Oh, friends, meditate on the names of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Have you believed in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ? Friend, that is the first commandment. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. That's the first prayer you need to pray, to cry out for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you believed in this name above all names? And when you do, all your sins He took as His. When you believe in Him, all His sins He took as His, though He knew no sin. All your abortions He took as His. All your adulteries He took as His. All your drunkenness He took as His. All your addictions to heroin, marijuana, cocaine He took as His. All your sex outside of marriage He took as His. All your lust and rebellion He took as His sins. And punished. They were punished to never come back to bite you again. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. One young convert said, if anyone is ever to be kept out of heaven for my sins, it will have to be Jesus. I heard John MacArthur say that, and I'm like, what? Rewind, what? What? If anyone is ever to be kept out of heaven for my sins, it will have to be Jesus, for He took them all upon Himself and made Himself responsible for them. But He is in heaven already. He is in heaven already, never to be turned out. So now I know that I am secure as long as He lives, the One who once died and rose in my place. See, those of you who have the tender conscience, you need to hear the objectivity of the covenant. You need to hear that more, as that illustration from D.A. Carson about the two kinds of Israelites who were worried about coming out of Egypt and the Passover, and the angel of death was going to pass over and kill those who did not have the blood over the door. And you have the one Israelite who's, oh yeah, I'm ready to go, let's go. Let's get vengeance on God's enemies. No doubt at all. Total confidence. Ready to go. And then you have the other Israelite. Oh, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. I'm so scared. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if, 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 if this is going to work, and I'm doubting, and I'm so worried. Friends, if they both put the blood over the door, who gets delivered? Both of them. Both of them. Both of them. It's not the strength of the faith that matters, but the power and the glory and the beauty of the object of faith. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Believe on Him. Trust in Him. Cling to Him. And He will save you. He will save you. That's the first commandment. Believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. And the second is love one another. Love one another again, 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 again. We're told to love one another just as He has commanded us. Love one another. Love one another. Lord, show us ways we're not loving one another. Show us. Empower us to love one another. And then finally, we can know we are of the truth and reassure our hearts by abiding in Christ and having Christ abide in us. Look at verse 24. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in them. Abide in Christ. We've already spoken about this in 1 John. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It means continual dependence on Jesus. I need You, Jesus. Constant reliance on Jesus. I need You, Jesus. I do not know what to do in this situation. I am clueless, but my eyes are on You, Jesus. Abiding in Jesus is continually relying on Jesus, trusting in Jesus. And how do we do that? Reading and meditating on His Word. Reading and meditating on His Word. We need to hear from Him. Spending time in His presence in prayer. Crying out to Him in prayer. Regular fellowship with His bride on Sunday. Fellowshipping with His bride, the church. If you do this, friend, if you do this, you will obey Him because He abides in you and you abide in Him. And you know that Jesus Christ abides in you because of the Spirit of God. Look at the end of verse 24. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit He has given us. We know that Christ abides in us because of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. You know you're a child of God because of the Spirit of God who dwells in you, who testifies, who empowers you, who testifies to you who is the Son of God. And you've believed, you've trusted in the Spirit's testimony of who Jesus is, that He is the God-man, that He is the Savior, that He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that He has been crucified, that He has died, that He was buried, that He's been resurrected. The Spirit testifies to you of these truths and you have believed in them. You know this by the Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. One pastor says, we share common life with God by the Spirit whom He has given us. If we have ever been filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, if we've ever been directed by the Spirit, instructed by the Spirit, taught of the Spirit, graced by the Spirit, gifted by the Spirit, filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, all those ministries of the Holy Spirit are evidence of the Spirit's presence. We have walked in the Spirit. We have talked, as it were, in the Spirit. We have sung in the power of the Spirit. We have witnessed in the Spirit. We have served in the Spirit. We have that anointing that comes from God so that we have been instructed by the Spirit. Verse 13 says the same thing in chapter 4. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He's given us His Spirit. Friend, do you know the joy of the Spirit? Pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for more fillings of the Spirit. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit as I've never been filled before. Let me enjoy the Spirit as I've never enjoyed the Spirit before. Pour Your Spirit out upon me and bear witness with my spirit that I'm Your child. Overwhelm me with the love of God, Holy Spirit, by showing me Your glory and Your beauty. Pray that way to the Spirit. And all these benefits, all these benefits we enjoy because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Friends, Jesus' heart never condemned him, but his Father condemned him. Jesus' heart never condemned him. The mercy heart, the beautiful heart, the obedient heart, the bold heart, the meek heart, the loving heart like no other heart. His heart never condemned him. But his Father condemned him. His Father counted him who knew no sin to be sin for us on that cross, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And his Father crushed the Son, struck him, smitten and afflicted, raised him from the dead, that we might have life, that we might be reassured of God's love and God's presence and God's favor. And so may you be assured that you are of the truth and stand before God with a clean conscience, pure and holy. Know that you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus loves in truth and deed. His heart cries mercy for our need. He's great in all things. He's decreed to crush the serpent. He's the seed for all. For on that cross he died and bleed, and then arise from death we're free. Believe the Son and his word heed. Obey and love and follow his lead, and your heart will be reassured. And so let's pray that God would do that. Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. Lord, there are different people listening and hearing. God, I pray that you apply your word in every way it needs to be applied, both to the tender conscience, Lord, and those who are condemned that ought not to be condemned. And Father, also apply the word to those who are being pricked in their conscience and yet are refusing to turn from sin. We pray that you would grant repentance. And so, Father, be with us. Reassure our hearts. Father, I pray that you would drive home your truth. Make it clear and understandable where things were unclear. And have your way with us, Lord Jesus, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen.